Joan Knows. Conversations with Joan Lewis.
Joan, we launch into another week.
Looking at the news of the week, I did not participate in last weekend's festivities with the ecclesial movements, but that had to have been some incredible weekend from what I have read. I don't know if you were present for
I did the any... English commentary, and it was supposed to be 4 hours. It was five.
Really?
And just the Holy Father's message alone was 13 pages long.
Really? How incredible. You know, he's been a follower and a promoter of an awful lot of the movements for many, many years, certainly long before he became Pope Benedict, as Cardinal Ratzinger, even as a bishop, it's my understanding. And so this must have been a really, really interesting meeting, and certainly Sunday's Mass obviously attracted, Pentecost attracted just as, not as many people, but I mean 100,000 is nothing to sneeze at. What was very interesting was Pope Benedict's participation in the Rome Diocesan meeting on Monday night in St. John Lateran Basilica. And it took place, actually, this is interesting, it's a three-day meeting, but it took place June 5, 6, and 8. They had another diocesan event scheduled for the 7th. But in any event, this was on, the theme was the joy of faith and educating the new generations. And the diocese, I looked at the website, they were so anxious to have entire families participate, and they certainly wanted young people. This was not just adults only and we're going to run the church. They wanted whole families to come, and so they even offered babysitting services. They had that on the internet, and if you were interested, you were to contact them for that reason. But, you know, one of the theme is very much, a theme for this meeting is very much a theme of Pope Benedict's, and I think you even heard it over the weekend is my impression in talking to the ecclesial group. And that is, faith should be joyful. There should be nothing in the way of getting in the way of your faith being joyful. And I thought that was very wonderful to tell new people, to tell young people. He said, we need to live faith as a joy. And he said that discovering the beauty and joy of the faith is a path that each new generation must pursue on its own, because what is at stake in the faith is what is deepest inside of us, our heart, intelligence, our freedom, in a deeply personal relationship with the Lord who works within us. So, and then he did talk for very briefly on the commandments. And he said, you know, the commandments are not there to set up obstacles to faith or obstacles to the joy of love. He said, Christian faith and ethics don't intend to stifle love. They make it healthy, strong, and really free. And then if we move, Tuesday was very quiet. The Pope, I think, kind of still much of Monday and Tuesday recovering from his trip, if you will, but also preparing for the Wednesday audience. And I thought the Wednesday audience was fascinating. I had the radio on, and as one tends to do with radio, listen more carefully than you do with television. Images can get in the way of your perceiving thoughts or words. And listening to the audience on the radio, I kind of sat up real straight at one point. He was talking about, this is, I think, his third week, talking about the Apostle Peter and his ministry and the Petrine ministry and his, you know, being the first leader of the church appointed by Christ. And the Pope, as he often does, ended the audience with off-the-cuff remarks. And it, if you listen to them carefully, he was kind of throwing down the gauntlet to non-Catholic Christians, because he said, talking about Peter's primacy, he said, off the cuff, remember, may Peter's primacy, which is entrusted to poor human people, always be exercised in its original meaning as wanted by the Lord, and may it thus be, in its true meaning, recognized by all those brothers who are not yet in full communion with us. But it was a wonderful talk on Peter. And when the Pope talks about any subject, but in this case, the first of the apostles, he really makes you want to meet the man. You want to go back to your Bible and read more, listen to Peter's words. The Pope kind of helps you enjoy Peter as a man, as a human being, too, not, as a weak person that Christ is trying to give this enormous strength to lead the church. I think the other big event of the week, since we kind of do an overview here, is the document that came out, which I found stunningly presented because there was no presentation. There was no fanfare, no publicity, no press conference. All of a sudden, on Tuesday, the journalists were given, in fact, they ran out of them rather early, the Pontifical Council for the Family produced a 57-page document in Italian entitled Family and Human Procreation. And, of course, it was all about the threats to the family in society today, gay marriage, abortion, lesbians demanding the right to bear children through artificial insemination, and so forth. And the document calls all of these various threats signs of the eclipse of God. You ask yourself, is this a document, a pre-Valencia document, in the sense of the Pontifical Council for the Family, of course, is holding the huge world encounter with families in Valencia, Spain, in July. So that's basically, the Pope will attend the last 2 days of this 9-day meeting. He'll be there the 8th and 9th of July. But a very powerful document. It actually doesn't say anything new. It just says that in perhaps a more powerful way, abortion, for example, called an abominable crime. And the document says it's inconceivable that this goes unpunished. So we don't have time to go into some of the other portions of it. And I, as we speak, I don't think I can advise people to go to the internet because the last I looked, this document was not on. But maybe the Pontifical Council for the Family will be putting it on the internet. So another highlight, the last of the week as we are recording anyway, because we kind of do it towards the weekend and miss a few days of activities. Mm.
And now it's time for our question.
Well, this was an email. I'm sorry I didn't print it, but the young lady who wrote asked, what is the prayer that Catholics say several times a day and they seem to stop their work and everything for it? And I am sure the young lady is referring, of course, to the Angelus, which, as we've just seen in recent weeks in the Easter season, is called the Regina Caeli. And it's a very beautiful, extremely brief prayer, little what they call versicles, very short verses, each of which, there's three of those, each of which is followed by the Hail Mary. Theoretically, this is said at 6 in the morning and at noon and at 6 at night. And yes, people do, how could you say a really good prayer without stopping what you are doing in the meantime? But the Angelus, the first word of the prayer is Angelus in Latin, which means angel, because the first versicles is the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary. And actually, this prayer, when recited, is supposed to be, under ideal circumstances, accompanied by the sound of a bell. Now, this has actually been around for a very long time because this prayer commemorates the incarnation, the angel announcing to Mary that she will bear as a child, of course, the Son of God. So it does mark the incarnation of God. What more important event, what was there up to that point in history? So the origins are obscure, but we know it was, the Angelus was part of monastic prayers many, many, many centuries ago. And even in the original form, after the two little, the versicle, if you will, the Hail Mary, a second one, a Hail Mary, a third versicle, and then the Hail Mary. And I think one of the more famous paintings, I'm trying to remember the title of it, it may simply be Angelus, where it shows people working in a field. And they stop working because it's noon.
It's called the Angelus.
It's called I thought so, and I can't remember who did it. And it shows people working in the field, it's noon. A bell sounds, and they say the prayer. You're supposed to literally actually do this, if possible, on your knees. So that, to the young lady who wrote, is the answer to your question. The Angelus is the name of the prayer, and at Easter time, it's called the Regina Caeli.
And on that note, see you next week.
Indeed.
Thank you.